check out our website at www.thefantasyamateurs.com.
On part two of the very special 100th edition of the Nasty Cast, we drunkenly recall our humble beginnings in the podcast world. We then begin TV character deathmatch madness, where one character from the opening round will make it all the way to the final four. What is this, a fantasy baseball podcast?
Yes!
That's all we talk about on this podcast is interesting things. Jesse, go toss a potato.
Here lies Joe. He died wearing braces.
Be interesting when she has her heavy flow at times.
It's not Nick Nolte.
That damn dirty ape.
You're going to blow Arkansas?
The Hindenburger cheese.
We follow the golden rule.
I'm in a league with the Pope.
Could have been an accountant.
Replace the baseballs with hand grenades.
Thor, he's like Jesus, but for people from Norway.
Eating ain't cheating. Hello and welcome into episode 100, part B of the NastyCast Fantasy Baseball Podcast.
It's the B movie of podcasts.
Starring Jerry Seinfeld.
Yep, and a bunch of animated bees.
We're brought to you still by Dots Pretzels.
Yeah, that's true.
The official snack of the NastyCast. And I'm joined today, once again, by a man who just broke off his first Hondo Part A.
That's true.
Toho Sachi.
Yeah, that's true. And I don't have a new line for Jesse, but you don't really either. I mean, you just kind of did the same thing, but he's always over there on instant chat. Jesse Jordan's here.
I like the chat in the instance.
Instant.
No, in the good ripoff of your first
In the instance that we have to do a 100B episode, I'm here to chat.
Good.
Maybe take some dick twists post. Pictures.
Dictoids?
Dictoids.
Those are like Altoids.
Dictoroids. Like Polaroid. You know, I can print it out right here.
Well, there's a lot of products you could come up with if people, you know, just based on dick pics. Dictoroids, which Dictoroids. Are Polaroids for it. That's a new app.
We should all be Mad Men.
Just
coming up with slogans.
Just for the just for these new apps.
Penis apps.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You know, I mean, we are men, so we know a lot about penises.
I do know a lot about them.
I'd say I'm an expert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Having one and all.
I handle mine all the time.
I mean, there's at least 50% of the country, of the world that I know more about penises than. So I'm in the top half, I think.
That's fair to say.
One thing I don't know is... I don't even, I'm not even going to say it.
Okay, I'm scared. I was scared where you were going.
Jesse's censoring himself already. We're off to a rip-roaring start.
It was probably too soon, so.
Yeah.
So what happened here is the episode was going to run so damn long, we just decided to put it into two parts. We were going to do one Gigantoid episode, and even the one Gigantoid episode, which we knew would be good, Gigantoid, became so extra super gigantoid, uber gigantoid, that we decided we just had to split it into two. We didn't want to release a 3-hour monstrosity.
3 hours is a lot.
I like how Nate sounds like Trump over here with going from penis talk to using the word gigantoid and monstrous and big.
Monstrous. That sounds like a type of.
Look at how big my hands are. Look at them. They're huge. Yeah, tremendous.
Everything about this first podcast was tremendous. We've got great things going on. Everything's great. It's probably the best podcast. Listen, there's more people listening to that last podcast than have ever seen a podcast, period.
Boy, I tell you what. If you didn't vote for Trump.
Trucker Jim absolutely voted for Trump.
No, goddamn right.
How did you get to steal my guy? This was my guy, and you stole him.
What are you talking about, Trucker? Trucker Jim's sitting right between us.
Okay, boys, so... we're gonna get to TV Character Deathmatch Madness Part 1. That is what we're going to do on this episode. But before we do that, we didn't get a chance to take a trip down memory lane just yet. Clearly, we've made 100 episodes. Technically, you might say this is 101.
But we won't.
Some might say, but we won't. So let's go back to the beginning, shall we? Sure. I mean, at the beginning of the last episode, we heard the very first intro.
You
want
to just go back to the beginning of the last episode? Because that was like 2 hours ago.
No, okay. Let's go back farther than that.
I hardly remember it.
I hardly even remember
the beginning
that.
Of the last episode. So we'll see what happens.
And you want to go back to like the beginning.
It's funny listening through to all those too. Like there's so many different sound, like as far as this, the quality. Yeah. Of our sounds, which even in the last episode perhaps is questionable because I have a new mic and you guys have the same headset.
You have old mics.
Didn't necessarily jive the best from the sounds of it. So I'm using a headset again.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, dancing to rap at a jazz festival.
That's perfect.
Pretty comparable.
That's the yeah. type of analogies we pay him for.
Absolutely. That's why you make the big bucks.
Yeah.
So we started out. Jesse said, "Hey, I can record a podcast."
Yeah.
Oh, like guys, you want to go way back to the beginning.
We're talking about day one.
We
like,
started off with podcasts.
Jesse and I,
at a level we've talked about this before, where we do the Inebriation Association Fantasy Football League, which. Yep. My heart is still broken from losing this year's championship.
Tough loss.
We got to go back, like, what, 3 years?
You got crushed, though.
3 years or 4 years? 3 years, I think.
Four.
Four?
Yeah.
I think four.
It's four. Holy yeah, it's crap. Been four now. This marks the fourth year of the Nasty Cast.
Is it?
Season three, though.
This is the start of season four.
Start of season three.
Is it?
Yes.
Either, but then it would be 4 years because you guys did a whole season of the
yeah,
football.
Yeah, we did a whole
thing.
Season of football.
Yeah. Sure.
But we you know, like I said, we'll have to go back to the whole, you know, previously stated in episode 100A about how it's been the first time we've actually gotten together in the same room in a, you know, a little less than sober state of mind now. We were a lot more sober earlier, but,
yeah.
You know, last time we actually got together, I don't even remember, so.
It's hard to remember.
Yeah.
Anyways, so we're gonna ramble, kind of like we are now, with we don't even know what year it was. So, it all started off with the Fantasy Football Inebriation Association podcast where we had like 12 listeners.
It was just
and we were
league.
Happy when we.
It was totally league specific. We were like, oh, yeah. If we can get everybody from the league to listen, then that's great.
That was
and we
your,
did.
That was the whole goal was just to get the people that played in the league to listen.
But
to
we
it.
Actually had more.
And they did, yeah. And it was
well, of
it was
course
great.
They did. Why
we
you?
Interviewed other guests or well, we had guests, other players from the league, basically yeah. all our buddies.
Where I would just put their. Phone on speaker on my cell phone.
Yeah.
On top of my computer.
On top of the computer.
And then I would record it.
It worked.
So, yeah, it worked, yeah.
But I mean, yeah, so that was the very beginning. That was just you two did that, and I think I came on like twice.
Yeah, you made a few guest appearances. And then one magical summer, Matthew Berry, our favorite podcast of all time, still my favorite podcast of all time, when Matthew Berry and Nate Ravitz used to do the 06-0-0 Fantasy Baseball podcast.
And Podmater left.
They quit doing it. Podmater was still around a little while after that.
He stayed around.
Nate Ravitz was the one who left.
Yeah, Nate left.
He broke up the crew.
Well, yeah, he just said he was quitting baseball.
And then at the same time, Matthew Berry said that I'm going to stop doing
baseball and I'll keep doing football.
He's going to keep doing football.
Yeah.
That's what Field Day talked about.
So the baseball show died officially.
Yeah, and we were just grief stricken.
The first time that I remember even discussing it was at the pitch. We were there for that one draft, and a real NFL draft,
yep.
I think. And yep. We were standing outside talking about it. I was just talking about how much I hated this show. Like, not to be too mean to poor Eric Carabell and the
Tristan
other guy.
Cockcroft, yeah.
I was just like, I just can't listen to him. I hate it. It's so I'm so
Their
mad.
Writing is great. Their podcasting less so.
Well, what? I don't know. I haven't listened in several years. But
I haven't either.
Maybe they found their niche, but it wasn't doing it for me. And I was just like, we could do just as good a show as that. And then, you know, and you guys are already doing your other podcast and... So then we just were like, well, what the hell? We'll try it. We'll start doing a baseball one.
And we did. And it's, I mean, basically when we started, we were like, it was almost league specific. It wasn't quite. Like it was based off, the name Nasty Cast was based off of the Dynasty
League.
When
we first started it, I just said, like, you guys do a podcast about our league. Like we could do one about the Dynasty League.
Yeah.
That was kind of what's, and then after like two episodes, we just kind of made it into like a normal fantasy baseball show.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, we expanded it pretty quickly.
And we evolved the BS that we had in the IA, like the because we always did the top five thing came from that. And we did some segments, but we wanted to make it more family orientated. But yeah, we had some segments that
you guys are
did quite pass through, but.
Yes. I know, that was my favorite.
Although you said it idea. The exact same way both times. People will never know, but you anyway.
Well, it's gonna be bleeped no matter what, but yeah. It was based on Sam Jackson's use of the word MF-er.
Yeah.
For non-bleepingness.
Yeah. It'd be hard to go into the specific details, but you could probably go on iTunes.
Basically, our current versions of Dude or Don't.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
But it was in a much better format.
Absolutely. A lot more explicit.
A lot more swearing, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, and eventually, really, I mean, we started off with, like, dozens of listeners per podcast.
If you're really going to talk about how it turned in from nothing, which it was, to kind of something, like, the real, like, one of the key things that really ever happened was I was working nights back then. And there was one day when I was sitting at home and during the day when I should have been sleeping, and I mowed the lawn, like I couldn't sleep. And then randomly I just wrote an email to Rich Wilson and said, like, really, I don't know why I did it even. I don't really know what popped into my head. But I just basically asked him some question about something, and then I threw at the end, you know, hey, we do our own little podcast. Maybe you could give it a listen, tell us what we're doing wrong. And rather than just ignoring us like he should have, because... that's what he should have done. He was like, not only will I listen, I'll be a guest. I didn't ask him. Yep. He just offered.
Yep.
So we had him on, and that quadrupled or took the listenership like 10 times for that one episode.
It took us from 25 downloads to 125.
Exactly.
So it was
which
better than
doesn't
that,
really mean anything. But, I mean, it's just like five times as many people listen, because we got some of the audience from their podcast, basically.
And we, well, we've been
and that led to us getting Tim McLeod to come on, and then that led to us getting all the other guests we had last preseason.
Yep, absolutely.
We're going to continue to get those guests as long as Nate keeps emailing them.
We do have some good guests coming up.
Like, Nate actually works with people now, you know, like because he writes for websites. But
we once had Tim McLeod eat a burger with us.
Well, that happened.
And he's coming back. He's coming back for... Are you guys really doing this live draft?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's get off tangent, but we're now... Okay, the 100th episode, we're getting into this live draft. Joe, are you going to be part of that league?
I would assume so.
Yes, of course.
I am too, but I'm going to be the DOS commish.
You're the commissioner?
You know what I was thinking?
Yes. Well, I guess I could probably do the league, but I mean, I'm not going to be competitive. I'll just...
It's just going to be a redraft
league. I'm trying, but like I you've seen me in redraft leagues. I really, really
doesn't go well.
We'll talk more about the details.
With that
moving forward.
But I'll at least want to be the auctioneer if we do auction.
Yeah,
it'll be an auction.
But anyways.
Yeah, we owe a great deal of gratitude to Rich and Tim from Prospect.
Yeah, that was a big deal. Like I honestly don't know that anything would have... Like, because if we were, I don't know that we would still be doing it into 3 years later or whatever if we were still had 100 people listening to it.
Probably not.
Maybe? I don't know. But I don't know. You know, and now there's 10, we have 10 times or more than 10 times that amount of people that listen to an episode. So it's
we're legitimately into thousands of listeners listening to this for some inexplicable reason.
Our listeners don't care about hearing numbers, but I remember that. Remember that time that. Last time we had Rich Wilson on, you guys got mad at me because I got all dorky and nerdy with him talking about how I did all my background. Yeah. And I wasted like one of our three to five minutes of our time, and Rich was just loving it because he's a tech guy too. And anyways, we were talking about the numbers, and I think at that time we were only at like maybe 250 at was like our peak. And I mean, our peak now is... I can't even think
of it. And of course,
like,
the other thing.
Eight times more than
that? He was saying that, you know, because it was always hard to figure out. We didn't really know how many people were listening to it.
Yeah.
Like, well, I just get a number from Blog Talk Radio.
See, we were using...
And strangely enough, now we're on Blog Talk
Radio. Oh, yeah. The great pod. I mean, that also.
That was another crazy thing. That
needs happened. To go down in history as one of the greatest things that happened to the NastyCast is Pod Vader reaching out to us and, like, handpicking us for Blog Talk Radio Prime.
It worked out so great that I ended up having that day off. Because I was supposed to work, and then we scheduled this time with them, so I actually took paid time off. And I don't know if you just worked on your guys' natural time
off.
Must
have been our day off.
If you guys walked or whatever.
It was just our day off.
I actually took PTO for that couple hours, but then I ended up having to be home that day with a sick kid or something.
Oh, right? Nice.
So it was just funny how it worked out that it was just, and then like just.
But that's something like the listeners didn't actually get to see, but like because it wasn't on air, it was just a call we did with the guy. But like, you know, yeah, actually talking to the guy that was, you know, the third part of our favorite show ever. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the reason we started the show because, you know, that old 06-010 crew sort of split up.
Well, yeah.
So,
One more thing I was going to bring up was when you were talking about when we had Rich Wilson on the very first episode, the first time very first guest episode besides, you know, Van Lee that we just had for 108. No, I don't think so.
I think so.
Rich was our big first guest, but I could be wrong.
I think that was the first time we ever had anybody.
Anyways.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you might be right, because Van was over Skype, I think.
Rich was just on a cell phone.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So, anyways, but we had Rich on, and then at the end of that episode, we really classed it up with the old appliance deathmatch.
That's right.
Was that the first?
That was the same.
Yeah, that was the same episode. Yeah.
Yeah, because then we asked him to listen to the rest of it. I
don't think he cared for it.
No.
He's like, yeah, I don't know about all that.
I don't know about all this other stuff they do, but there's also sometimes they talk about baseball. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody really cares about a blender. Oh, I tell you
what. I know at one time they said, yeah, I think they did say something like, hey, they talk about like blenders fighting each other. Like, well, not every
time. Well, they asked Nate about that when he was on there.
Yeah.
What you do with the Nasty Cast. Do you guys even talk about baseball? Why are you here? Is what they threw at him, and he's like, "Yeah, we like to have fun."
Yeah.
Well, that's why we're here. So
I actually hate to have fun, but I do it just for you guys.
Thanks, we appreciate that, Joe. Yeah. All right. Well, yes, we are going to have some fun. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with the feature segment, TV Character Deathmatch Madness, Part 1. All right, welcome back to the Nastiest of Casts. We thank you for participating in the 100th episode of the show. We are now about to move on to basically one of the things that we are known for, and that's the BS segments. It's one of the things that we feel like, you know, sets us apart from the other podcasts that just stick to fantasy baseball. And also part of why we decided to do this as a part 2, because there is no fantasy baseball in this at all. It's just total BS. So what we have here is part 1 of the TV Character Deathmatch Madness. It is pitting TV characters against each other in a battle to the death.
It's standard stuff.
Here. Standard fare if you've listened to us for any length of time.
It's pretty normal stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean...
So this is done March Madness style with the brackets. We've got seeds 1 through 32. It's a field of 32.
The seeding, too, like, there was no rhyme or reason to the seeding. It's like a random number generator.
No, like, the
poor
seeding...
Poor Fonzie.
There's a seeding committee, all right?
Seeding committee.
Yeah, we hired them.
After bad. What did you always used to call them?
They're the committee.
The committee, yes.
Seeding committee.
The selection committee.
I'm sure it'll come out.
Yeah, okay.
So but the guys
poor,
were
the poor Fonz,
especially drunk this time. Yeah,
or on the committee. Yeah,
yeah. I won't go through the seating as I list off these initial matchups, but I will mention them as we get into the actual battles. So again, I said 32 total partakers in this TV character deathmatch. We're gonna start off with the Fresh Prince. Is the one seed against Fonzie, who drew the 32nd seed.
That is just unfair to me, to Fonz. I mean,
the selection committee definitely were just, they're out of their minds on Fireball.
Well,
I
think they went by age.
There's
definitely age in that one.
I mean, Tom Brokaw's older, and he's nice. But, I mean, it's also, the committee, I think, is located in either maybe Colorado or California. I mean, they're high.
Or West Philadelphia.
Born and raised.
That joke's coming back tonight.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yes.
It already has, some might say.
Well, yeah.
All right. Jesse, did I mention Jesse Pinkman versus Tom Brokaw?
You did.
You just did now.
Matchup number three, Mr. Ed the Horse versus SpongeBob SquarePants in the most ridiculous matchup of anything
that
ever.
Might be the highlight matchup of this whole round.
That's a good one.
I think the committee did a great job of pairing up first round matchups.
I agree.
There's some really good ones.
There are some people, you know, like the Fonz, they got screwed with the 32nd seed.
I'm not happy about that, but.
But the matchups as a whole are excellent.
Hard to go wrong with these types of characters.
Matchup number four, Randy Marsh, of course, Stan's dad from South Park, against Tony Danza.
And we'll find out who's the boss.
Oh, we will. Fifth matchup, Roseanne Barr versus Betty White from Golden Girls.
Well, that's a good matchup, actually.
One of my favorite matchups of this round.
In the sixth matchup, Bob Barker versus Ray Romano.
Also one that makes me laugh.
Should we bring Van in as a guest commentator?
Probably should.
Yeah.
What a goofy guy!
Then we have Stewie Griffin versus Mariska Hargitay. Who is, of course, from Law & Order SVU.
Yeah, that was a Nate thing. He really loves that. And you didn't even doesn't she have a character name?
She probably
does. If you can't think of her character name, then she shouldn't be on. Like, at least say what her name is on the show.
I don't know. The committee asks us all, you know, we have to write our papers and let us know why we like certain people.
Yeah, we write.
It's our opinion, but they still choose the seating. I don't know why they didn't boot that one.
Yeah.
Anyway,
the ninth matchup, we have Urkel versus Alex Trebek.
I love this one.
That's a good one. Homer Simpson versus Pee Wee Herman, didn't you?
I believe I said that, Homer Simpson versus Pee Wee Herman. The tenth matchup, Bill Cosby versus George Costanza.
That's going to be a dangerous matchup there.
The 11th matchup, Captain Kirk versus Ron Swanson.
I know who's winning that one for me.
Manly man right there. Al Bundy then faces off against Danny Tanner.
That's a good one.
Topanga from Boy Meets World will face off against Statler and Waldorf from The Muppets.
Topanga was the number three overall seed.
She was.
Yeah, that's highly seeded for Topanga.
Too highly, some might say.
But she has to face the two old men.
Yeah, it could be an upset there. I smell an upset.
We'll see. We have Alf against Charlie from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
My second most favorite matchup right there. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
We then have Walker, Texas Ranger against Dwight Schrute.
It's really sad that one of those two has to get knocked out in the first round.
And Tim Taylor, finally, against MacGyver.
The Battle of the Tool Men.
Yeah, that one too.
That's
like
a good one too.
I mean, really.
Sometimes the committee knows what they're doing.
Yeah. They weren't screwing around for sure. So what we're going to focus on in this episode is the first eight matchups?
Four.
Or the first four.
We're going to take the first four down to the final four.
Basically, okay. Yeah.
So we're going to start off.
We'll be determining one of the contestants in the final four.
In the final
Elite
four.
Eight.
What? I thought we were going... What? Yeah, whatever.
It'll only take it to the
Elite Eight. Elite Eight. Yeah, that's true. All right, so let's start off. French Prince versus Fonzie. Joe, start us off.
I get to start this one off?
Yep.
All right, well... Man, this is an unfortunate matchup. Like I said,
Battle to the death!
And I talked a lot, you know, we talked to Chris McBrien about it on Twitter, you know, let him know, you know, that the Fonz was getting screwed on the
deal. I totally forgot to talk about all the, you know, the predictions and everything that we got.
You got I don't know any of these predictions.
Well, there was, I posted the bracket on my Facebook, and of course we had our listener slash friend of the show, Walter, who was part of the mock draft that we recently
did. We could have put Walter White on.
He asked, where's my namesake? He says Walter White could take out the whole bracket if they got in his way.
He could.
I said, no, you know what? He's a murderer. We can't have any murderers going on. It'd be an unfair advantage. That's the same reason we didn't put any Walking Dead characters on there. Like, they're actually cold-blooded killers.
I'm trying to think.
It's also why the Game of Thrones characters aren't on there.
Yep, exactly.
And we kind of basically shunned. It's almost should be called like cable TV deathmatch because we've basically. I don't think there's one single
Fresh
like
Prince
HBO show.
Oh, HBO. I thought because there's network TV shows.
Well, network cable. Sorry.
So you don't mean pay? No pay cable.
No pay cable.
Okay.
Yeah. You can get most of these shows over the air somewhere.
Yeah, I don't think there's any like Showtime or
maybe South Park.
Yeah, not really.
That's on Comedy Central. That's free.
But we also excuse me. We also had a Final Four prediction from a friend of the show, Evan Booth. His Final Four prediction was Randy Marsh, Betty White, Ron Swanson, and Walker, Texas Ranger.
That's the thing, is like Walker, Texas Ranger, almost impossible to beat, but in my mind, so is Dwight Schrute. Mm, I don't know who's, like, it's not fair. I might call
it. And they're totally different.
And Betty White, also pretty much impossible.
Right.
Well, even age can't kill her.
No. Oh, yeah, she's outlived everything already.
Father Time.
You think
we'll get into that later.
Can kill her? I doubt
We've got eight. Those aren't our focus right now.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got eight contestants to talk about.
Well, I was ready to get into the thing.
Fresh Prince versus Fonzie.
Okay. So, anyway, it's a raw deal for the Fonz. He got the bad seed, but I feel like he gets home field advantage, and that is whatever. Because, you guys probably are going to go to the playgrounds of West Philadelphia where, Will Smith spends most of his days.
He was born and raised.
I'm going to that whatever diner it was where they always ate at Happy Days, sure. And they always sat around and listened to whatever 50s music they are.
Happy Days.
See, that I don't understand that, because as a 32 seed, you don't think that he would get the home field advantage.
But he does, because he's the Fonz, so.
Hey! Why don't we go back to my place?
So anyway, they're all in the middle. They're out in the middle of the dance floor, and that's where they're going to do the fight, right? And then the jukebox is playing some cool fight music, but it stops and it's not working. The jukebox isn't working, so the Fonz, he goes up there and and then bam, and the music comes back on, and everybody starts dancing. Will Smith starts getting jiggy with it.
As he is wont to do.
And then that moment while he's dancing, he's doing like break dance and all that stuff. So the Fonz goes over to the jukebox, picks the fucking thing up off the ground, just lifts it over his head and just smashes.
Oh, crushed.
Dead.
Crushed. Oh, yep. Boy. All right, we got one for Fonz.
Yeah.
Fonzarelli. Arthur Fonzarelli.
And I really didn't know at the beginning of that who I was going to go with.
I have no idea.
I don't play
Brand these at all.
I did like the jukebox kill. That was very creative.
We've never had anybody killed by a jukebox before.
That was a first. Yeah.
Death matches.
I think I'm going to analyze these two characters a little more as a whole rather than telling the story of how the death match happens. We got Will Smith, who is obviously, his name is Will something on Fresh Prince.
But I can't remember what his last name is. It's not Will Smith. No, I think it is. I think it's just Will Smith.
I don't think it is. It's something else, but
I'll Google it.
Anyways, he's from West Philadelphia, born and raised. Then you got the Fonz, you got the cool leather jacket. Hey! Yeah, that was a bad impression there, but I had a better one earlier. But either way, he wears a leather jacket. He's a cool guy. He's the man around town. Will Smith, he's pretty cool too, but not till he gets out of his home, Philadelphia. He has to go to L.A.
If this helps, the character Will Smith in the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air played a character called Will Smith.
Will Smith. Oh, okay. I didn't think so. I didn't think I was right, but
it was a real stretch for him to play that character. Yeah.
But Will, he's a runner. He had problems in West Philadelphia.
He runs away from his problems.
He was born and raised, So he went there. Even though he spent most of his days there, he ran. So he runs from problems. That's my point. He's kind of a pansy that way. I just don't think when it comes to a fight, this is deathmatch. And even if he's on his home turf, if he goes back to West Philadelphia, where he's born and raised and spends
how many times have you said it so far?
that's the point.
Anyways, not enough.
So, yeah.
Wait a minute, though. Just one backstory thing that I want to get. Where was Will Smith born and raised?
West Philadelphia.
All right. I just needed to get this.
So, they're going to fight and yada, yada, yada. And basically, since Will Smith's, a pansy, and the Fonz, even though he's the cool man, everybody likes him, he knows how to stand up for himself. I think when it comes down to a death match, I got to agree with Joe. It's a jukebox to the head. And I can't believe we had the... We just... that completes the upset. I'm sorry, Nate. I really wanted to hand it to you.
Sorry.
The Fresh Prince, as a number one seed, he just doesn't... What does he have?
Well, he runs.
I guess.
From Philadelphia.
He's got charisma.
I know, but it's like he doesn't have any, like, the Fonz.
Well, he's got Uncle
the
Phil.
The Fonz has a lot going for him. Like, not only could he,
like,
he
could you want to know with, how Fresh Prince got the number one
or
seat?
Or Carlton could have came out and done the Carlton dance.
Well, no, it was, yeah, that he had Carlton's distract dance, but.
Yeah, I really feel like Carlton got a short shrift.
Was Phil, like, Uncle Phil
yeah.
bought Will the one seat.
Yeah,
that's how the one seat happened.
Yep.
It was paid for and bought by Uncle Phil. So, hey, when corruption happens, guess what happens?
You die.
The 32 kills him.
Jukebox to the head.
Hey!
Terrible. Okay, so Jesse, go ahead and move the old Fonzie forward. That's biggest upset in the history of the NastyCast, by the way. The 32 seed over the one.
I guess, so yeah, fair enough.
So,
would you have swept that?
Yeah. I mean, it's the Fonz. Come on.
Or are you going to throw a ball
at it?
Yeah,
you're going to beat
the Fonz. Even if
that's
you
a
just,
3-0 sweep.
If you think about the sense of style, like Will Smith's attire in that show was already out of style. Fonzie, you could wear that shit right now and you'd be cool. You'd be cooler than everybody else in the world. You got the leather jacket, you got the blue jeans. You kidding me? So we got the Fonz moving on. And we're going to move on to matchup number 2 today. Jesse Pinkman versus Tom Brokaw. Jesse, you can start us off.
Okay. Well, we have Tom Brokaw versus Jesse Pinkman from my ultimately my favorite TV show of all time. I'll make this, got to make it short and sweet. They fight a little bit. There's a little battle. Jesse cries. He thinks he shouldn't do this. Tom Brokaw teaches and maybe says a couple of quotes like, kids are kids and people are people. But we all got to grow old. And Pinkman
that
basically
Tom
punches
Brokaw
him in the face.
He has a crazy
neck. And says, that's news, bitch. And he kills him.
Oh,
Jesse
God.
Pinkman.
Cold-blooded,
but
just like that, huh?
Well, you can't forget Tom Brokaw, you know, wise age, yo. Kids are kids, people are people, and we all grow old.
Tom Brokaw used to say that all the time.
That was just sign-off, but I'll pass it on to Nate.
All right, so we've got one for Pinkman. This is, like I said before, this I think is my favorite matchup of the opening round, and I don't know which way I'm going to go.
It's an interesting one, that's for sure.
It really is. Jesse, I mean, really, if you watch the show Breaking Bad, he's not a bad guy. He's actually a really good guy who sort of hangs out with the wrong crowd and gets sucked in. Tom Brokaw, of course, just delivers the news.
Oh, wait, never mind.
You don't know that.
No, I don't.
Although I will say, for people who have not watched reruns of Saturday Night Live, Dana Carvey does a hell of a Tom Brokaw impression. If you just Google, Tom Brokaw SNL, then you will you will find a skit of
there's
him.
There's that one of where he's, like, recording, he wants to take a vacation, so he has to record the news.
All the Gerald Ford deaths.
Yeah. Gerald Ford died today.
Gerald Ford died
eaten
today.
By wolves.
Exactly.
It was delicious.
That's one of my all-time favorite SNL skits. It is classic. So, obviously,
President
love Tom Brokaw.
President Gerald Ford.
Yeah, the way he says it is so great.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, mercy. All right, so... So, I think we have to... It's a 16 versus 17, so it's a neutral field. So, I'm just placing them in a boxing ring.
Okay.
All right, it's just...
I would have put them in the RV, but...
Well, you suck. So it's a boxing. It's just all like Rocky versus Apollo Creed. You got the bouncy, you know, things.
Except
square
it's
ring.
I know what a boxing.
Tom Brokaw
is like.
Versus Jesse Pinkman.
But it's it's America.
So what age are they? Like, are they both at their
the height of
like
their
powers? Tom Brokaw.
Yeah. So Tom Brokaw's like 70 years old.
Yeah. Okay.
Jesse Pinkman's like 20.
Okay.
All right. He's from season one.
Yeah.
And Tom Brokaw's from, like, yesterday.
Yeah.
I think he's, like, 90 in real life.
Both in their prime.
Yeah, both in their prime. Agreed.
But, yeah, so we're in the ring. Jesse's, like, just snorting blue meth in one corner. Tom Brokaw's in his corner. Somebody, like, just places a giant desk with a giant microphone right on in the corner of the ring. And he starts just talking about the news. Like, tonight on the news, I beat Jesse Pinkman's ass to a bloody pulp. And Jesse Pinkman's over the corner like, news, bitch! And he flips them off. And then they just both run into the center of the ring and they just start throwing haymakers at each other. Just willy-nilly. And they're saying willy-nilly at the same time, just to make sure the other knows that they're throwing willy-nilly.
Willy-nilly!
Willy-nilly!
Tom Hardy's like, willy-nilly!
Willy-nilly.
Willy-nilly! I'm helping out here.
And eventually, Tom Brokaw, he breaks Pinkman's jaw. Pinkman starts crying because he's not really that tough.
He's a crier.
He's a crier.
He is.
He cries when he wins.
And then just as Tom Brokaw is declaring sweet victory over Jesse Pinkman, he flips out his flip phone and he calls Saul Goodman. He's like, yeah, bitch. And he just passes out. And then Saul Goodman comes out. He's like, you know what? I'm going to bring my fat guy with me. And he's like, what's that fat guy's name from Breaking Bad? That big fat black guy?
Ends up spending eternity in that room.
Yeah. That guy comes out.
The only loophole.
That guy comes out and he beats Tom Brokaw over the head with a steel chair, crushes the skull, and Jesse Pinkman wins.
Oh, see, I thought just Tom Brokaw pulled out his phone and said, I need help.
He's too slow. He's
based
old.
Based on your voice.
He's too slow.
But now I get it. It makes more sense. It's over.
Yeah, it's over.
What would you say, Joe? Would you call that a
sleep? It was Huel. That was his name.
Huel. That's right. Huel, that's right.
That's what I was looking for. I would have definitely had Brokaw win.
Oh.
Jesse Pinkman is soft. Like, he didn't want to kill anybody.
Brokaw, but he had connections.
Brokaw is a stone cold killer. but you'll never know.
Yeah.
You'll never know.
What a shame. Okay, so I have to start off now. Mr. Ed versus SpongeBob. Jesus Christ.
That's a good one.
Oh, my God. Where do I even start with this? Okay, so Mr. Ed, obviously, is a talking horse.
Sure.
SpongeBob SquarePants is a talking sponge.
He's a horse, of course.
Oh, God. Well, neutral arena, I suppose. We got the USA-themed ring.
Is this where you're putting them all?
For now.
This is your fight.
Yeah, it's whatever. You do what you like.
Boy, oh boy. SpongeBob is just oblivious to everything. So he probably thinks that Mr. Ed is there to make friends. And he goes, we're going to be friends. Let's go make some cheeseburgers or some...
Krabby Patties.
Krabby Patties. That's what it is. So he's off making Krabby Patties in the kitchen. Mr. Ed storms into the kitchen from the boxing ring. The kitchen is just adjacent to the boxing ring.
Obviously.
You know, Mr. Krabs likes his money. So you gotta keep the kitchen close to the ring.
He really likes his money, by the way, if you've ever seen
Loves
the show.
It. I have.
Loves it.
More than once.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Ed storms into the kitchen, pissed off because SpongeBob is basically shrugging him off. To make Krabby Patties. He's like, this is a fight to the death. And SpongeBob is just oblivious. I thought you just wanted to be my friend. You know, and he turns around to address Mr. Ed, and he slaps him in the face with his spatula. Ooh. Of course, as oblivious as he always is, he doesn't realize that he even hurt this talking horse. The talking horse gets totally pissed off, takes a bite out of the sponge that is SpongeBob SquarePants' side, eats his kidney and liver, and...
He's got kidneys and livers in there?
He does. His sponge kidney and his sponge liver.
How many livers does he have?
12.
That's a lot of livers.
That guy can drink like a sponge.
Yeah.
He lives underwater.
He's a real soak.
Hello. Whoa.
Thank you for delivering the joke.
So the horse is, SpongeBob is unaffected by this. So the horse continues to eat. He eats his legs off, both of them. He eats both of his arms off, you know, and SpongeBob is still just sitting there, like, grinning at him.
And as a sponge, he just keeps basically popping back, right?
Yeah, he keeps growing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in the water.
But how are we going to ever kill this guy?
That is the question, Joe.
Why, you tell me.
So Mr. Ed, he's like, I'm going to finish this little pissant off. He eats Mr. SpongeBob SquarePants' head.
Mr. SpongeBob SquarePants.
Some respect there.
He starts to digest him in his, upper stomach.
All right. I didn't know horses had
they do.
Two stomachs.
I know a lot about horse anatomy, all right?
They're like six. They're way bigger than cows.
Oh, I have way more stomachs.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And so this horse thinks he's won. He prances back out. To the ring.
I'm Mr. Ed.
Yeah, I'm Mr. Ed. Congratulations. Back in 1937, they used special effects to move my mouth around a little bit.
Put peanut butter
on. Yeah. I actually just chewed on a carrot the whole time.
And then, just as that stupid horse thinks that he's won, SpongeBob continues to expand within him and gets so big that his stomach can no longer contain him, and the horse explodes. SpongeBob regains all of his parts and moves on.
Yeah, that's what I thought would happen.
Yeah,
I mean, I knew it.
You probably wanted it to be a surprise, but that's I saw it coming miles away, but...
I kind of had that coming.
Just waited to see if he was going to make an angry face about that, but he really didn't. So, anyway, so whatever. We can be in the boxing ring. I'll start off the same way. In the boxing ring.
Get him, Rock.
And then so they're whatever boxing. The horse kicks the sponge, and you know it bounces against her. He doesn't really care though. He just laughs because he's a sponge. You can't really hurt an inanimate object. But anyway, in between rounds, SpongeBob heads over to make some Krabby Patties, as he is wont to do. And, you know, he's making Krabby Patties, and of course Plankton is nearby, as he normally is. And he's always wanting to know, what is the secret ingredient?
You gotta have the secret formula.
Yeah, he wants the formula, right? And we've never really known what is the secret ingredient of Krabby Patties. And then Mr. Krabs comes out to the ring during it, and you know, it's never really announced, but... We find out what the secret ingredient is to Krabby Patties all this time. It's horse.
Oh, my God! Meat this grinder. Whole time.
Yeah, Mr. Ed to the meat grinder.
Oh, my God.
You got horse meat. Patty'd.
They pulled a Burger King on our asses.
You bet. I told you guys this was one of my favorites. I really, really, really wanted to go on depth.
Sorry, I could have let the horse win. But how does the horse beat a sponge?
Well, I was just gonna, the short summary was, is that both these people like to talk. Like, they're not people, but they don't.
Big talkers,
up.
Yeah, both of them.
They're just big talkers. So that's what they do. Have you ever watched Mr. Ed when he didn't shut up?
I actually have never watched Mr. Ed.
Doesn't shut up. Have you ever watched SpongeBob? He talks the whole goddamn time. Well, eventually, you know. They go in a talking contest, and SpongeBob, being a sponge, he just out-talks him.
Yeah,
eventually, the horse dies.
Mr. Ed's like, I haven't eaten in 3 days, and then he dies.
Well, sleep deprivation.
SpongeBob doesn't care.
Yeah, but I really did like the Krabby Patty. Yeah. That was good. That was way better than my story. Okay. Good job, Joe. Kudos to you. It's a sweep.
Okay.
So the only non-sweep was Tom Brokaw got a vote.
But. So far.
SpongeBob moves on. So matchup number 4, Joe, Randy Marsh versus Tony Danza.
This is, that's a tough one. Whoa.
Gesundheit.
I don't know if anybody could hear that. He probably muted yourself. But anyway, this is a tough one because Randy Marsh, one of the greatest characters in television history. I mean,
absolutely.
Well, so, and I don't know where to start it. Like, yeah, I guess we could just go to standard boxing ring. But so anyway, they're there. They get to the start. The fighters are announced, and there's lots of old ladies in the crowd, and you can hear them shouting from the rooftops, "Make love to me, Randy." You know, I mean, that's what happens.
As the women are wont to do.
Yeah. So you get a lot of that from the crowd, but then there's also, you know, and then Tony Danza's in there, you know, and he's kind of looking out in the crowd. He wants to know where his fans are out there. So then he's kind of looking like, Angela. Yeah, I don't know. I figured I'd try and do a dance.
That was, you know what? That's somewhere in between Stallone and...
It kind of sounded like Sylvester Stallone. But anyway, so Tony Danza...
Hey, that's...
Is that a Danza?
That's Danza. That's Mr. Boss.
We need Pisapia for the Danza. Yeah.
That's true.
I tell you.
Next week.
Anyways.
Next week. You can just have him do Tony Danza just for the hell of it. So anyway, they're in the ring fighting, and Randy Marsh, he's a scientist, you know. So that's really where he gets his advantage. And before the fight, he had managed to eat as much P.F. Chang's as anyone has ever eaten. And he takes the world's largest dump in the middle of the ring. And Tony Danza just chokes to death based on the smell.
Oh, my. Wow. I mean, Randy advantage Marsh. Randy Marsh, for sure.
He's taking the world's biggest dump.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
He can do it again.
He's also got giant balls.
Oh, yeah, he can carry his around in
but
a wheelbarrow.
But is he the boss?
He was in this fight for me.
That is the question.
Is he the boss? I'm going to disappoint NASCAR fans with this one. and both of you.
What's new?
I've watched South Park a handful of times. I'm not going to say that I'm not a fan of the show, but I have not watched it enough to really to form a great opinion on Randy Marsh.
I think you
so. What I saw when you guys put Randy Marsh in the text, not in the text message to me, but in the text
to the committee,
was to the committee. I saw the everybody's proposals and barely any of mine made it, but I also only proposed like four because I didn't realize when the deadline was. So anyways, that's beside the point. I thought Randy Marsh was Randy from Trailer Park Boys.
Oh, wow.
So like that's how I had my mind set up on like who was going to win this fight, which
he's the guy with the big glasses.
No, he's the guy with the big belly. Oh. Bubbles.
Big glasses, okay. Bubbles. Okay.
There should have been two people that I forgot to even propose. By the time deadline was done, I was all messaging them, and they were like, it's too late. So,
yeah,
but I thought of Bubbles and Randy. Randy's the guy with, like, he loves cheeseburgers. He's got the huge belly. But anyway, that's who I thought this was, but it doesn't matter. That's not who it is. So, I really can't even be funny in this one because I really can't make jokes about either character, and Joe's was so good about the dump, so I can't really match it. But I'm going to let Nate make the decision and just go with Tony Danza as my vote because, I mean, he's the boss. He was the father of Alyssa Milano. Like, he knows how to kick ass. He knows how to kill people. Like, you know, Alyssa Milano
was
super hot in the 80s and 90s.
He's got that sweet blue van.
You know. And he was like, hey, oh, hey, oh, oh, hey, oh, hey. That's how Who's the Boss? He was calling people down. Hey, oh, it was, hey, it was, hey, oh.
He was a hell of a softball player, hey. Too, from what I recall.
Baseball player.
He can slide into third.
He was a retired baseball player.
I mean,
he slid into third all the time without breaking a finger.
Hey, oh.
You know, like, he was friend-zoned by, like, the woman that he lived with, which was super weird. But that doesn't take away from his ability to kick ass.
They got together in the end. Spoiler alert.
Well, did they?
Spoiler alert.
I thought it was always a one-night stand.
Spoiler alert, everybody dies at the end of Rogue One.
Is that true? I don't know. I haven't seen
it. I should punch you. Because you want to know something?
Everybody dies?
They do.
Yeah?
Because I don't want to go on a tangent here. My nieces.
I haven't seen it either. I've heard it's been spoiled for me.
My nieces called me and were like, yeah, we watched Rogue One today. I bet you never got to see it. And I'm like, well, no, I didn't. They're like 10, you know, 8. Yep. And they're like, I was like, well, I bet it's good, though. Huh? And they're like, oh, yeah, it was awesome. We loved it, blah, blah. And then I was like, oh, so what's so cool about it? Well, there's only one lightsaber and everybody dies.
That's not really.
That is morbid.
That was the review.
Jeez.
And I was like, oh, great, thanks. So, yeah.
But everybody can't die because Darth Vader's in it and he doesn't die.
Well, no, but everybody all over Rogue One Squadron does.
So you remember in the very first Star Wars when they said, people have died for this information.
Well, and
that's
like,
true.
People that died, Joe.
I guess everybody knew, really.
The movie literally, I thought it led up.
This
it was
totally not necessary.
It literally
right
leads
now.
Up to episode.
This is on par with Joe giving out my Wi-Fi password.
Let's move on.
Yeah, we should move
Which on. Is Big Cheese.
Nate needs to make a decision. Yeah. No, Perfect Cheese something.
Damn it.
I was trying to decode it.
People are lined up around my block trying to decode my Wi-Fi password.
It's perfect.
This is why our sound is choppy right now.
Yeah, we're losing Wi-Fi.
Stop stealing our bandwidth, miscreants. So, Randy Marsh was telling you, you know what? This battle takes place in Randy Marsh's basement.
Okay.
Because he's the higher seed. Tony Danza is frightened because Randy Marsh is terrifying. He's got giant
Make
dumps.
Make love to me, Randy.
I mean, where Tony Danza comes from, he is the hunk. He's the ladies' man. And that currently is not the case because everybody is screaming at Randy Marsh.
They're just like, Make love
to me, Randy. Yes, exactly. So he's a little bit off his game to begin with.
Yeah.
And Randy Marsh, he just goes over to Tony Danza. He's like, you know what I think about you? I think you're Italy. And this is America, right? I thought this was America! And he just, bends over and just... He just buries Tony Danza in a giant dookie.
Yeah. He's got that going for him.
Suffocates Tony Danza to death.
I mean, he beat Bat Dad, so Tony Danza's not going to be a problem.
No, Tony Danza's not a problem at all. Randy Marsh moves on. So, then in the Sweet 16, we now have, this is Joe?
It's Jesse.
This is Jesse's matchup.
Fonzie versus Pinkman.
Yes, Fonzie versus Jesse Pinkman.
If for the people that are following along, for the first round and second round, as of right now, the way our new website is that we can only give out the scores until the first round's complete, so I'll figure that out later. That's technical difficulty. Anyway, so now we have...
For all those people following along online, which there are zero of them, because we haven't released the episode yet.
They've seen where you can go to this link. I'm saying, like, in the future. So tomorrow, if they want to check out where things are and who's up next, they can still see everything. But anyways,
When will that be out here?
Yeah, exactly.
Where are we at here? Fonz versus Pinkman?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is a matchup that I never thought would happen.
Hey!
Oh, my. But really, like, where the hell do you... why do I have... I wish...
It really is a confounding matchup.
It's tough. Blown up my mind here. Like, I could do Pinkman versus Ron Howard in Happy Days. Like, that's a two sidekicks.
I think he'd beat Ron Howard. I think everyone would beat Ron Howard.
I think so. But
yeah, Ron Howard's a big fat pussy.
He's bald, too. Red hair.
Pinkman?
Is he a redheaded bald man now?
He is.
Jesse, he's a survivor. He's a survivor. Wants to be a liver. He takes you out back and calls you a bitch boy. And Fonz says, you know, oh, happy days. Oh, happy days. Hey, oh, happy days.
So they're just singing to each other now at this point?
They are.
It's a sing-off.
It's officially a...
It turned into a musical.
This is officially the musical.
It's American Idol.
It's like La La.
Simon Cowell is judging them.
Yeah.
And Jesse Jordan, obviously.
And Jesse Jordan,
I'm the one who matters, so I will take Simon's advice, but...
Some token black guy.
We got Fonz out there. In
Arsenio Hall.
He's licking his lips and doing his hair, singing, hey, oh, happy days, oh, happy days.
I wish the people could see you dancing.
he's brushing his hair off to the side. You know, this is Jesse right after his lady died, so he isn't going to do the math. So he's out there all tripping.
He's clean.
He's itching himself, you know, like that's me doing my voice of itching. But I guess in the long run, Jesse calls Fonzie his bitch and uses science and basically brands some leather, whips Fonzie a little bit, makes Fonzie say, "Ey, bitch," and then Jesse kills him.
Wow.
Jesse wins.
I like the part where they were
singing. "Ey, bitch."
That would be his quote after he
said it. So it's my turn. So the key here is that Fonzie, whether it was shown on the show or not, he was a really heavy smoker.
Okay.
And
it seems appropriate with the era.
Right. Everybody smoked back then.
Sure.
Right? And especially the cool kids, quote unquote, kids. Fonzie was as cool as a cucumber, as cool as it comes.
That's where they came up with that phrase.
Because he shoved a cucumber up his ass?
No, just I'm saying he was the first one that they said was as cool as a cucumber.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, sure, your thing.
Well, I thought maybe he was bi curious, but you know.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, so it turns out that once he hit his 50s, he had to have an iron lung installed.
Ooh, that's going to make him hard to deal with.
Yeah, I know. It's tough. It also drains his athleticism. You know, as cool as he once was, now he's pretty old. He's got an iron lung. And Jesse, thanks to Walter White, he knows all about science. And he's got a gigantic magnet as well.
Oh.
And so what he does, he just creeps up on the Fonz. He has that gigantic magnet that, you know, once scrambled the laptops and everything in that one episode. Bitch. He goes, "Magnets, bitch!" Yeah. He goes, and he clamps it right against the Fonz in his 50s, and his iron lung gets sucked right out through his entire body.
Ooh.
Just... pulled through his
blood
skin,
everywhere.
Through ribs are breaking. There's blood everywhere.
Much more gruesome than the death he lost in the musical
match. Yeah, so far more gruesome.
They just sang each other to death. Yeah. He didn't actually die in Breaking Bad, so it wasn't gruesome there.
But. So, yes, but in this case, it's sudden death for the Fonz.
Yeah, I mean, I would have absolutely voted for the Fonz. No way. Jesse Pinkman is not a killer. You guys are wrong on this.
He's being backed into a corner, though, man. It's kill or be killed.
He would be killed. If I ever got the vote, and I've not got the vote on either of them. So.
Okay. Well, it's the last one of the night. Almost.
Isn't it? I think this is it, right? Or do we got to do
We've got the winners.
Okay, yeah.
Fine. Winner of this match versus Pinkman.
SpongeBob versus Marsh.
SpongeBob SquarePants against Randy Marsh.
This is you, Joe.
I started? Nate starts.
It's me.
Oh, yeah. Nate starts. Sorry.
That's quite all right. I wish it was Joe, because this is a tough matchup. I mean, we got two animated characters here. The Bob and the Marsh. So I mean,
because you don't really anticipate round two, so it is tough once you
It is SpongeBob, man. The 25th seed against Randy Marsh, the 9th seed. So we've got to go to Randy Marsh's hometown, which obviously is South Park. We're just north of Ed's Rhinoplasty, I think.
Okay. It's a great store.
It is. If you want your nose jobs, that's where you go. Man, I mean, you talk about ignorance. Like, these two are the kings of ignorance. Yeah. You got Randy Marsh and SpongeBob SquarePants. Jesus. I mean, Marsh is just running around taking giant dumps everywhere and, like, wheelbarrowing his humongous balls around. And SpongeBob is, like, he shows up and he's flipping burgers and trying to sell Randy Marsh's the secret ingredient to the Krabby Patties. And Randy Marsh is like, I don't care. This is America. I'll make burgers out of whatever I want. And he just, like, slices off part of his giant balls and, you know, fries it up like bologna.
Okay.
And you know what? SpongeBob SquarePants, not Squidward at all. SpongeBob,
we could talk about Squidward, too.
You could, but he thinks that's the greatest idea ever. And for the first time in his entire life, he's jealous.
Ooh.
He says, you know what? That is the secret ingredient to the success, the continued success.
Balls?
Yep. It's just like Rocky Mountain oysters, except for
not
Marsh.
All of a ball, but a chunk of a ball.
Just a slice, like a pancake.
They're really big.
Like a scalloped potato of a ball.
Yeah. Okay. Did that be functional?
And suddenly suddenly he has the desire to kill. And Randy Marsh is stupid as hell. And all it takes from SpongeBob SquarePants is a flying 1080 swing SWAT with his spatula.
He also knows karate.
And he does. He after that 180 though with the spatula, he decapitates Randy Marsh.
Oh.
Blood flies everywhere. He cuts off Randy's gigantic balls, slices them up like pancakes and grills them on the grill.
And then
sells them for $300 a piece.
Mr. Krabs gets 100% profit.
takes home everything and gives SpongeBob raise.
They call him Krabby Patties Prime.
Yes, prime patties.
Prime patties.
Sad that SpongeBob received no money for any of it.
Nope.
But either way.
He's all about helping out Mr. Krabs.
You know what the difference really between, because in mine, the battle, it's obviously going to be in a pineapple under the sea.
Yeah.
Because nobody said that yet, so that's where it's going to be. But you know what the difference between Randy where? Marsh and SpongeBob SquarePants is? Randy, he's an emotional guy. You can get under Randy's skin pretty easily. Like,
yeah.
Really.
This is America!
Exactly. You can. Randy gets pretty upset about virtually everything that happens. He's basically having a midlife crisis every single episode. He doesn't know what's going on. He's always. His life is getting ruined every other day. So SpongeBob's able to get into his head. He just starts talking about, you know, whatever random stuff pops into his head, and Randy Marsh just can't handle it. And of course, SpongeBob never shuts up, as has been mentioned.
Right.
So after about 15 minutes of talking to him in a pineapple under the sea, Randy Marsh kills himself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't think SpongeBob...
I knew that's where it was going.
Well, we haven't had a suicide.
The way you were talking, he gets upset, he can't control it.
It's like Suicide Parrot.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be what SpongeBob.
But SpongeBob doesn't actually talk him into doing it. He just
annoys people.
I I'll save my SpongeBob secret weapon, but I would have swept it.
Okay. So he's moving on.
So well, here we go. So we got Joe. It's going to be SpongeBob against Fonzie.
No.
Or Pinkman.
Pinkman.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, if I've never got to kill Pinkman yet because he would have died with me a couple times. So, yeah, this one. Well, it seems like you guys keep giving Pinkman the science edge, so... And I've wanted to have a battle in the RV for quite some time, so I think that's
right. Magnets, bitch!
So they do go to the RV, and he's... Like you guys said, he's all about science, so he starts thinking about, scientifically, how do you kill a sponge? Mm. And, you know, it's... Let's face it. Scientifically, how do you kill a sponge?
Dryness.
I know. I but guess. I'm gonna save it for my own.
Okay. Well, if you got a reason,
I'm gonna go acid.
Acid? Oh, that's not a bad idea. My thought process fire. Is: how do you kill an inanimate object? You just can't.
Kill it with love. Kill it with kindness.
I just don't think you can. And SpongeBob SquarePants, that's not fair. Only is he an inanimate object, but like, he's also, like you said, he's oblivious to everything. He doesn't even care. Pinkman's over there throwing acid in his face and trying to kill him. He's blowing, like they did in the episode one where he's throwing chemicals in there trying to kill. SpongeBob doesn't care about any of it. He absorbs all the horrible chemicals and just spits them back out. He doesn't care. He's a sponge. He cleans things. You can't kill SpongeBob.
It's true.
And then once again, so Jesse just using so much science, attempting to kill him. I mean, and just eventually, the amount of chemical reaction in the RV kills Jesse.
Oh my God!
SpongeBob doesn't even care. Not only that, but he uses himself to clean up afterwards.
Wow, heartless, heartless.
Well, he's not even heartless. He's got a heart of gold.
Wow, Joe, I really like the ending there where SpongeBob cleans up the blood.
Yeah, all
with
of his
with himself.
With himself, yeah.
All right, so I'm gonna go out into like I don't know. What do you call those? The oasis out of the desert, so then they're just both kind of at home.
The desert.
So there's water and desert there. So Jesse's in his homeland of New Mexico and SpongeBob is kind of by his water there in the oasis, but it's kind of a neutral fight. Kind of already spoiled it though, like Jesse Pinkman's plan is, you know, I'm going to acid this mother effer. I'm going to throw some acid on him. So, well, Jesse Pinkman's idea of acid, like, he found out from, he actually, to give the full backstory here, he didn't really come up with it himself. He went and talked to old Mr. White about it. Mr. White said, well, how do you kill a sponge? You just absorb it in acid, like, burn it, you know, dip it. So, while Pinkman being the druggie is, he thinks of LSD. So, him and SpongeBob, they're about to fight. You know, SpongeBob likes to talk. They just get to talking. SpongeBob just wants to talk. He don't care. And obviously, in Joe's battle, it led to earlier, you know, of Randy killing himself. So he thinks maybe I can get Jesse to kill himself after not talking. If I keep talking for 20 minutes straight, well, Jesse's like, you know, hey, SpongeBob, you know, we're I like to listen to you talk. Let's take our friendship a little further. Let's drop some acid. So they both drop some acid. And Jesse, being the experienced druggie he is, you know, he starts kind of tripping out, sees the rainbows and everything and the little creatures and whatever. And he's tripping out, kind of getting a little scared. But then, you know, it's like, how you doing, Sponge? Sponge is all like, oh, I see a squirrel underwater here with a helmet on. I see my buddy Patrick over here, starfish, he's talking. Squidward's here. Everybody's here. We're good. We're golden. And then Jesse's like, well, yeah, well, you know, maybe, you know, blah, blah, blah. And don't you feel like dying? And then SpongeBob starts thinking about dying. And he's thinking about, you know, he just starts dreaming and imagining dying, and he's like, why am I thinking about dying? Oh, it was that guy Jesse dying. Jesse. And as he keeps saying that louder and louder and louder, his imagination becomes real, and Jesse starts to die and goes and dies.
So he like mind powered.
Oh my god.
Yeah, like the LSD in his imagination combined allowed him to just think about Jesse dying.
So it's like one of those drug Jesse. Movies, and you just don't know what's real and what's fake. Yeah. Did he really kill him, or did he
so
just
do
die?
We know? Do we know it was it the fact that SpongeBob's imagination killed Jesse, or was it the LSD? D that just killed Jesse.
And he just was imagining it.
And SpongeBob was suggesting it.
That was really deep.
Very deep.
So we're tied. Oh, God. This is terrible.
It's tough.
Is it tied? Who'd you say won?
SpongeBob.
I said SpongeBob wins.
Did you? Oh, I thought SpongeBob died because of science.
No, it's over.
Oh, no, I'm never. SpongeBob's winning the whole thing for me. You can't kill a sponge.
If you want to talk about it.
How do you kill a sponge?
Drag him out.
You would have went Jesse?
Yeah.
How would you have dragged him out? Too late for now.
Because SpongeBob is a moron.
He is a moron, that's true.
Dry ice.
But he's not going to lose yet. He's moving on.
Just dry air. But anyway, okay, so that's it. That's all we have for tonight. I don't have any idea when the next time we're going to record one of these portions is. But we're going to do the catcher position this coming week.
It's one of our favorites.
Reverse catcher.
The reverse catcher, the dumpster position.
Nice.
As well. So look out for that. Hopefully we can get together soon one of these weekends and bang the rest of this crazy death match out. I know the people are waiting on pins and needles for the outcome.
That's what my chairs are made out of mainly.
As are mine.
Yeah.
So until then, I sincerely thank every single one of you for listening to all. I mean, even if you haven't listened to more than a handful of our 100 podcasts.
If you
podcasts
listened to like all 3 hours of this, we should probably send you a bag of pretzels.
Probably. So let us know.
I'm not saying we will. I'm just saying we should.
We should. We won't, but we should.
You won't. We won't.
No.
They shan't. Not. End this thing.
Thank you for listening so much. We're eternally grateful.
Yes, thank you.
I really don't know what else to say. So until next time, may the fantasy gods shine upon you.